You turn to hymn 394. It's this hymn, Deeper and Deeper, from Oswald J. Smith. And here Oswald J. Smith tells us that we ought to go deeper and deeper into the heart of Jesus, into the will of Jesus, into the cross of Jesus, into the joy of Jesus, and into the love of Jesus. It's a very, very meaningful hymn. And this is something all of us should earnestly desire to do and yearn to grow more deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, go deeper and deeper into His heart, His will, His cross, His joy, and His love. And the question, of course, we're going to ask tonight is how? How can we do this? And I think here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and following, Paul tells us how. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says here, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." How may we go deeper and deeper into the heart, into the joy, into the will and cross and love of Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, the most basic of all is that we must humble ourselves before Him, to bow our knees to the thrice holy God, to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Unless we learn to bow our knees before Him, we can never receive any benefit from Him. If we are proud and haughty, there can be no blessing from heaven. And I remember very well my teacher, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, telling our students, "Don't be proud like the mountain. If you are proud like the mountain, when the rain falls, the water all runs away. Be humble like the valley, so that when rain comes, the valley is that which collects the water and receives all the blessing." And here, Paul enjoins us to bow our knees to the Lord. And the bowing of our knees speaks of our humility, our submission, our worship, our dependence on God. It's a posture of prayer. And we will only pray when we realize our helplessness, our weaknesses, and how we need our Lord and our Savior to save us, to deliver us. It's only when we think and feel like this about ourselves that we will flee to Him in prayer. And that's how we grow deeper and deeper in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual life with the Lord. Many a time when things are going on well with us, we so easily forget God, don't we? We take things for granted. We think that everything is fine and rosy. We depend on our own strength. We do things our own way. But God doesn't want us to live our lives like this. He wants us to daily walk with Him and be very close to Him, to pray without ceasing, to trust in Him on every matter. Men ought not to faint, but always to pray, and to pray without ceasing. How to have this very prayerful attitude all day long? Many a time we forget to pray. Many a time we forget to depend on the Lord. And so the Lord sends trials and testings, afflictions and sufferings in our life to teach us this very important lesson, that we should bow our knees to Him and seek Him constantly in prayer, to humble ourselves before Him, because we are not the captain of our own destiny, we are not the master of our own fate. And how we must always be reminded of this, who our Lord and Savior is. We are not our own Lord, our own Master. We belong to another. And it's God who possesses us. We are His. And He wants us to know that. And it is for our own good that we realize this important fact, so that our minds and our hearts may be redirected, renewed, revitalized to walk closely with Him. And so here, the Apostle Paul teaches us this. And here the Apostle Paul surely was not writing theoretically. He was writing from personal experience. He was going through such a hardship and suffering for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the context. Verse 13, we are told, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Right now, he was going through tremendous hardships and sufferings, which he calls tribulations. He was going through a whole lot of tribulation for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the sake of the faith. Right now, he was in prison. And that's why in chapter 4, verse 1, he also talks about this, "I therefore the prisoner of the Lord." And Ephesians is one of his prison epistles. He was in bonds, in chains, in a dungeon, going through all these sufferings for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he realizes how much he needs the Lord in times of loneliness, in times of persecution, in times of tribulation. But he's not down and out. He is not depressed or distressed. In fact, Paul experiences a whole lot of joy and peace serving the Lord, even in such trying circumstances. And he desires for the saints to also enjoy this kind of victory that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, despite the circumstances, the very, very difficult and trying circumstances. And he tells the saints, "You don't faint, even when you go through such tribulations, but learn this important lesson. Bow your knees to the Lord Jesus Christ." And right now he was driven to that posture of humility and submission and worship and dependence and prayer to his Master and his Savior. "And for this reason I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We have an almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. And more importantly, this creator, our maker, is our Father in heaven, who loves us, who cares for us, who will help us in time of need. Are you driven to your knees? Dear friends, don't shun, don't shy away from hardships in life. When God sends trials and testings in your life, He has a purpose. And His purpose is to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to experience Him in a very, very real way. He wants us to feel Him very close to us. He's not a God who is far away, a God who doesn't know, cannot sympathize or empathize with us. Dear friends, the God that we have, our great high priest, has gone through all the things that we have gone through in this life. He was tested and tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. And that's why Paul also likewise tells us not to faint, but to go to Him boldly, to His throne of grace, so that we might obtain help in time of need. And when we bow our knees to the Lord, and we humble ourselves, we consider ourselves to be nothing, zero, and Jesus to be 100, our all in all, when there's less and less of self and selfishness, there'll be more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Why do we sometimes feel that God is so far away from us? Why do we sometimes feel that God is not listening to our prayers? That there's no vibrancy in our spiritual life? It's because we are so full of ourselves. And God must send all these trials and sufferings to break us down, to reduce us to nothing and to zero. And then when we learn to deny self, we are nothing. No face to save, only faith to increase. Then we will know what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to carry our own crosses and to follow Him. And so we ought to grow deeper and deeper into the mind, into the heart, into the will of God and our Savior. I want to share with you a testimony of the founder of the Bible Presbyterian Church and Movement, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. Now in his old age, 88 years this year. And although his physical outward man is growing weaker and weaker, perishing, yet the inner man is growing stronger and stronger. And recently he said to me, says, during this time of my physical suffering and illness, I've learned one very important lesson from the Lord. He's always in touch with the Lord, praying to Him, seeking His will, seeking His mind, reading the Scriptures, praying to the Lord. He says, the Lord taught me one very important lesson during these months and years of my ill health and weakness and suffering. He says, the Lord has taught me that He wants us to live, not die. He wants us to live and not die. And that's very true. And this has caused Him to desire very much, although to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And of course, we all desire to go to our heavenly home, to our eternal rest. But yet, there is still much work to be done. And He desires to serve the Lord until the very end. And so He perseveres on. Don't think that He's not feeling or He's not concerned. Don't think that His mind is already out of commission. He is still very much thinking with good reason. And His inner man is still being renewed, strengthened by the Lord. He's still the pastor. He told me, I'm still the pastor of True Life, BP Church, and always thinking how I can improve, how the church can improve, and also the Bible College. He's still the principal of FEBC. And he tells me, and he advises me, and he knows that Easter is coming. So recently he asked me, Easter is coming. Have you all booked the place or not for the Easter sunrise service? He was very concerned that we should have a place, and we have booked the place. I said, Pastor, already done. We have booked it last year in December, and we already gotten the permission to use the park. And we are going to have our Easter sunrise service there. And he's looking forward to that event. And so, dear friends, in times of suffering, actually it's a time of great service to the Lord. And it's when we go through such trials and testings that our faith will increase more and more and our love will grow more and more deeper for the Lord, because we find Him so real and so true in our lives. And He hears and answers our prayers. So Paul here likewise was not speaking theoretically. He was speaking out of his own personal experience. And he was truly strengthened at this time in such a great crisis in his life. He was in prison. He was about to stand trial. We do not know what the outcome would be. He didn't know. The future was uncertain. He might be executed. But yet his inner man was strengthened in the Lord, and he knows that God will do all things well. No complaint from him, no murmurings, no grumblings, but only praise and thanks to God. And how he grew, even at this point in time, how he grew in his faith and his love for the Lord. And so in verse 16 we read, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. As much as the Apostle Paul right now has tasted of this wonderful goodness of God, the grace of God, that he is strengthened very much in his inner man. He writes to the Ephesians, I want you also to experience this strengthening with might by his Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. What is the inner man? The inner man here is the spiritual part of the human being. Man comprises two parts, the body and the spirit. And the inner man is the spirit. Our mind, our thinking, our reasoning, our perspectives, our views, our worldviews. It also involves our heart. Our feelings, our emotions, our desires, our convictions, our will. And our mind and our heart must be strengthened always, increasingly, day by day, that we might live a victorious Christian life. And this is, of course, the sanctification process God wants us to go through. And the Spirit is the one who sanctifies us, and he sanctifies us by his truth. His word is truth. He also sanctifies us through the fires of persecution, affliction, and suffering. He used various means to make us more and more like him, to cleanse us and to sanctify us. And that's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul commands us that we should not be conformed to this world, because we are so much into the world and like the world. How much time do we spend with God as compared to the time we spend in the world? How much time do we spend with God's Word compared to the time we spend with our textbooks, studying for our exams, to get our degree? How Paul knows we are so much in the world, and how much the world must be weeded out of our minds and our hearts. The worldly philosophies, the carnal desires must all be suppressed, put down, uprooted and taken out, to be replaced by the mind and the heart of Christ. So we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what he's trying to tell us here. And many a time we try to take care of our bodies, isn't it? Everybody is nowadays very concerned about their health, physical strength also, especially young people. They will, lift weights, pump iron, and they want to look good outwardly, externally. I remember when I went into national service, I was a skinny, scrawny fellow. Went in national service, and the first 3 months of basic military training was no joke. And there was a time when they tried to strengthen you externally and put you through a lot of exercises, strenuous training. And you will weep, you will cry. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering. But then after 3 months, actually you look at yourself, you look pretty good. You know, suddenly you see all the muscles start popping out. And then you have a lot of stamina, you have a lot of strength. You never imagined you could do the things that,
that you could actually do. And then you begin to look yourself in the mirror and flex your muscle and see how look you good and all the, you know, pecs and all the muscles. And you take a delight in that. But for us who are believers, how much more important to take care of our spiritual strength. That we look good, not externally, but internally, the inner man. That we should train ourselves and go and involve a whole lot of discipline, a whole lot of training, a whole lot of affliction, a whole lot of suffering and pain. And when we endure it all, we persevere, we obey the words of the Lord, we exercise our faith. We discipline our spiritual life. Then the spiritual man, the inner man, will become more and more muscular. And then we are able to do things that we didn't think that we would be able to do. The godly life that God wants us to live. Well, before, with so much of the world, we find it so hard. But now, with the strengthening of our spiritual man, we find it so easy, easier. To love, right? And not hate. So much easier to forgive instead of seeking vengeance. And all the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you experience this in your life? I pray you do. And it's such a wonderful thing to go through it. And God is very real. And you know that He is the living and true God. He is your Savior, and you experience the resurrection power in your life, and then you also realize, yes, I have true faith. I'm a child of God, because God is working in me and through me. It's something hard to explain, but something you have to experience for yourself by going deeper and deeper into the heart of Jesus, into the will, into the cross, into the joy, into the love. Have you experienced this? I pray you do. Really, it's not enough just to be born again. Some people think that, the most important thing for the church or for the Christian is just to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, just to preach the gospel, get people saved, and full stop, that's the end. No, that's not the end. That's only the beginning. And that's why Jesus said, you don't just go and evangelize and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the triune God, you must also what? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Because we must live by every word of God that proceedeth from His mouth. And we must grow in our spiritual life. We must not remain as babes, but must mature and grow and be strengthened and be fully equipped for God's work and God's service. Have you gone through that process? Have you arrived? It's not easy. And in FEBC, we don't just teach. In the Firestone Bible College, we must train. And students are trained. Not just trained in the classroom, but in the dormitories, in the kitchen, on campus, in every way, in every aspect. It's not just a training of the mind, but training of the heart. To endure hardship and suffering. And the lecturers also do not spare. And the principal of FEBC, Reverend Toh, used to tell our students, yes, the way to heaven is by grace. Salvation is by grace through faith. But insofar as FEBC is concerned, in your training, if you want to graduate, salvation is by works. To work for it. And that's why Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew is such a hard taskmaster. How many of you take his night classes? Right now he's teaching biblical hermeneutics on Thursday night. And we thank God that in our Monday and Thursday night classes, more and more are coming to study. We have about 300 students coming from 38 different churches coming to study God's Word. Biblical hermeneutics, the principles of Bible interpretation. And he has many assignments, right? Many projects, week after week. And I hear the students telling me, not easy. Yes, not easy. And I thank God for it. Don't ever make it easy, Sonia. And through all the hardships, the struggles, with all the assignments, it's not just an academic exercise. It's a devotional exercise. You are driven to pray. You want to know how to interpret the Bible accurately and correctly. Yes, we must know the scriptures well, comparing scripture with scripture. But all the assignments, I'm sure, is to drive us to our knees, to pray, Lord, help me. Grant me thy knowledge. Grant me thy wisdom. It's to inculcate the fear of God in our hearts. That we handle God's word reverently, not critically, not with doubts, not with questions, but with humble submission, fearfully and reverently. Then we begin to know. Then we will start to understand what God says and what God means by what He says and what He requires of us. And that's why in James chapter 1, 2-4, we are told, count it all joy. Don't grumble and complain, but be very happy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, trials and testings. For God has a good purpose for all these things, that we might be perfect, spiritually mature, that we might cultivate this important virtue of endurance, patience and endurance. That we might be entire and whole, lacking in nothing. This strengthening that comes through it all. Paul here says in verse 16, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened. And this strengthening comes when we draw closer and closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this strengthening, if I may rephrase it and restate it, this strengthening has to do with stickability. Stickability. How we need to stick more and more with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? To cultivate this virtue of stickability in us. That we stick more and more with Christ so that nothing can tear us out or tear us away from Him. How sticky are you with the Lord Jesus Christ? May we become stickier and stickier. That we are so joined and linked and attached to Him, no matter what, nothing can tear us away from Him. That is this strengthening here. And it's also very interesting that over here Paul says that we might, that in verse 16, that we might be strengthened, all right, in the inner man, by His Spirit, in the inner man. Now the word in there has the idea of a movement, not just in, but into the inner man. Just like what the hymn says here, into the heart, not just in the heart, but into. To delve, to dive, and to delve deeply. To go more deeply into the heart, into the will, into the cross, into the joy, and the love of Jesus. Are we moving in this direction? Into more deeply, as the days go by. May we do that. You know, all of us begin with inexperienced faith. We're all born, when we are born again as a babe in Christ, we all begin with faith. But it's inexperienced faith. But God wants us to have experienced faith. And so He sends trials and testings, persecutions and tribulations, afflictions and sufferings in our life, so that we might exercise our faith. And then our faith becomes experienced faith. And He wants us to mature into a stage where our faith needs no more any experience. And we see things in His perspective. When we know how God thinks, how God feels, and we know how to make right decisions in our lives. Have we arrived to that stage? We are still growing and will always need to grow more and more in this aspect to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll never be done, we'll never end until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And so in verses 17 and 19 we are told that we must strive towards such maturity that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Yes, indeed, to be filled with the fullness of God. And the Lord allows us to go through all these things, and at different levels, you know, just like, you know, people playing the computer games. How many of you play computer games? I'm not recommending it. I don't play computer games, but I do see people play, and in computer games, you know, you have different levels, right? First level is always the easiest. And then after you accomplish the first level, you go to the next level. Second level is harder. And then the third level is hardest. And at each level, you have opponents or enemies, monsters or obstacles. First easy, and then it gets harder along the way. And you must strive to get to the top. That's how people get addicted, isn't it? Addicted to computer games. And then you will find that when these people who are computer games addict, they go deeper and deeper into that whole game. How their thinking and their feelings and their behavior change. And the kind of games that are played today are very, very violent ones, isn't it? And so as they go deeper into the deeper, deeper levels of all these games, you find that they become more and more fiercer, more violent, more aggressive. For us who are believers, who are children of God, well, the Lord also puts us through different levels of testing in our life. And we must submit ourselves to all these testings. The Lord begins with easier ones, and we are stronger, He gives harder ones. And then finally, He may give the hardest test of all, just like He did to Abraham. You sacrifice to me your only beloved son. And Abraham, the father of faith, passed the test with flying colors. And we will have such tests. But the test of God, unlike these computer games, this sanctifying process at different levels that the Lord allows us to go through will cause us to be molded and to be more and more like Christ. There will be more and more submissive to Him, dependent on Him, and then our conduct and our behavior will change along the way to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? So better quit playing computer games if you're addicted to it. But pray to God, Lord, I want to play your game. That sanctification process that I so need.
Help me to go through it
at every stage, every level,
victoriously,
so that I can see my mind change, my heart change, my life change, my conduct change, to become more and more like Christ. And then when we go through it all, then we begin to see things the way God sees it. And we see the world differently. We see our circumstances differently. We see people differently. We don't see it from a worm's eye view. A worm only sees from ground zero. Everything is around. And then he gets very depressed because he only sees all these little things. And we feel defeated. We must see as God sees things. From a bird's eye view. Circumstances, events, people, things that happen to us, we see it from a bird's eye view, from his perspective, not from a worm's eye view. And then we see, when we see the large picture, oh yes, God indeed has a marvelous, wonderful purpose and plan for me because I am his child. And I know why all things, good things or bad things, all things work together for good to them that love him, and I love him. Those who are called according to his purpose. Yes, I am called. Called to be his child. Called to be his servant. And I do see his plan being fulfilled in my life. Are you on this kind of a pilgrimage? That you grow deeper and deeper in love for the Lord, and you are growing deeper and deeper into His will, and you see how wonderful your God is and your Savior is. May the Lord help us not only to know this, but experience all these things in our life. A very deep love for Him, knowing His heart and his mind, so that we might live with the joy, the peace, and the love God meant us to live. The world may know that we are Christians, we are different, and that Jesus is the only Savior and only hope for the world. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant us thy grace. Help us, Lord, to grow deeply in love with thee, to fulfill thy purpose and will for our lives. We want to glorify thee, for we know this is our chief purpose, and also to enjoy thee. We thank thee, O Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins, times when we have failed thee. But we thank thee that thou art always faithful. Help us also to be faithful to thee all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.